Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good to see you. We missed you yesterday. There was a sort of a change to the school schedule, as you know, and you had a very interesting time when Mr. Maxwell was here to tell you about the beginnings of Northern Ireland, because it's 100 years old this year. Northern Ireland is 100 years old this year. And I'm sure he told you many very, very interesting and exciting things about the beginning of this little six-county state. One of the great features, and I'm sure he made mention of this, one of the great features that marked the beginning of Northern Ireland was a great breath of revival from God, because there was a preacher who had been preaching and serving the Lord in many places, particularly in America, who came home to his homeland, to Ulster. His name was W.P. Nicholson. And when he came home, very shortly after the beginnings of Northern Ireland, God used him in a great revival. I have to tell you that he was an instrument in the salvation of the great-great-grandfather of some of you here, and the great-great-grandmother of some of you here. So, isn't that quite remarkable how the Lord in His great mercy worked in our little country, despite all the troubles that came upon it, and brought honour and glory to His name, and thousands of people were converted. Now, you heard that and much more, I'm sure, yesterday. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that you will remember what you heard. Now we're turning to Jonah, chapter 1. We're going to read some verses, beginning at the verse 7, as we move on in the story of the down and out Jonah. Verse 7, and they said, that's the sailors, and they said, every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. May the Lord bless our reading of these few verses together. Jonah is found out. He had run away. He had hid. He had gone down into the depths, the darkness of the ship, curled up in a wee ball and went to sleep. But God found him out. And here he is now identified as the cause of the trouble that had come upon the ship. He was the reason for the storm and the danger that the ship was in. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, we read about a man called Achan. Some of you may remember him. Well, Achan was a man that brought trouble on the whole of the nation because he disobeyed God. When they fought against Jericho, God said, don't touch anything in that city. None of the treasure. It's all to be kept for the work of God. But Achan saw some gold, and he thought he would slip it into his pocket, as it were, and have it for himself. But God saw it, and God dealt with the whole nation because of what Achan had done. Well, Jonah was the same. In fact, boys and girls, throughout history, among sailors, whenever misfortune, we'll use that word, broke out on a ship and things weren't working out on a ship, perhaps the winds weren't blowing and the ship wasn't making the progress that the sailors had hoped it would, or perhaps a disease broke out on the ship, because diseases were very common among sailors. They weren't able to get the fresh food that we would have every day because they were weeks, months at sea and relying on stored food that sometimes, well, most times, became rotten. And they were eating this and they got sick. And when that happened, the sailors used to look around among them and said, who's the Jonah here? Who's brought this trouble upon us? And the name Jonah, since the events that we're reading about, has become associated with anyone who brings trouble to a ship. That's what his name has lived on to mean. As I said, he's just like what Achan was in the days of Joshua. Boys and girls, beware of sin. Jonah was a prophet of God, a messenger of God, one who was to bring God's word to people. But because of sin, he became a plague. He brought a storm. He brought destruction upon the ship. They lost their cargo as they threw it overboard, all because of Jonah. That's what sin does in the life of one who ought to be a blessing. They become instead a curse and a blight. You know, when the sun shines, we all enjoy it. All of creation enjoys it. The birdies, they come out and they sing. They love the sun. The blossoms on the flowers, the shrubs, the trees, they emerge and they rejoice in the sun. But when a frost comes, oh, it's a different story. Things wither and wilt and die and fall off. And when you walk with God, you're like the sunshine. But when you disobey the Lord and walk in sin, then you become like a frost, not only in your own life, but to everybody around. To everybody around. So it was here with old Jonah. He's brought to this ship misery and shame and suffering and loss and pain. Well, as we have read, they cast lots, a means by which they allowed, as it were, God to indicate who was the wrong one, who was the cause of all this amongst them. They didn't know. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So Jonah's found out, you can't hide from God. You can't run away. Now the men turn on him, and they begin to interrogate him. That is, they begin to ask him questions. Look at what it says down there in verse 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Tell us about yourself, because there must be some reason why you have brought this trouble to the ship. They were anxious to find out. Of course, the storm was still raging at this time. The ship was up and down on the waves like a cork, and their lives were still in danger, so they were anxious. Now that they found out who it was the cause of the trouble, they wanted to know, well, why are you the cause of the trouble? And so they're most anxious to get answers from this man. You see what they called Jonah? They gave him a name. Now, not the name Jonah, but if you look there in the verse 8, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. See the name? They didn't say, tell us, Jonah, but they said, tell us, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. You're the cause of the evil. They've identified Jonah as the one who has brought this trouble. What an awful name that is for a man who was a prophet, a man who was a servant of God, a man who was a child of God. He's called here the man whose cause this evil has come upon us. What a thing that is. The child of God should be the source of blessing, should be the source of joy and help to other people. Remember what the two on the road to Emmaus said about the Lord Jesus when he joined with them and was walking with them and talking with them. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? What a joy it was to have his company. Well, that's not how they were talking about Jonah. You brought evil on board our ship. That's what they're saying to Jonah. You're the cause of all our troubles. That ought not to be the case with the Christian. A Christian is to be as the light of the sun, shining, bringing good, bringing blessing. A little while ago, we did a series of studies, remember? Based on what was said of John the Baptist, a bright and a shining light. That's what he was, a bright and a shining light, a help to everybody. But here's Jonah, because he has disobeyed God and is a source of trouble and misery and shame and danger, and that's the name that is now known by among these sailors. Well, let's go a little further and consider Jonah's explanation. Look there, please. Verse 9, he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Now, he does say an awful lot there. He immediately identifies himself. He shows that he belongs to a privileged nation. I am an Hebrew. Do you know something, boys and girls? There was not another nation on the face of the earth like the Hebrews, like the Israelites. No one else came anywhere near the privileges that these people enjoyed. They had God as their God. Now, just you think of it. God is known in the Bible as the God of Israel. The God of Israel. He took, as a way of identifying himself, the name of this small little nation. Because, in comparison to other nations, Israel was just a small nation. Even to this day. Even to this day. The nation of Israel, the territory of the nation, it's not much bigger than Northern Ireland. It's a sort of a long shape, whereas Northern Ireland's more of a round shape, but if you stretch Northern Ireland out a bit, it wouldn't be much different from what Israel is. And we're nobodies. We're a very small little group. And yet God identified himself with that small little band of people called the Israelites. He was the God of Israel. And Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew. I belong to the nation of Israel. And then he tells them something about himself, for he says, if you notice there please, in the verse 9, I am an Hebrew, I fear the Lord. He confesses his faith in God. Tell me, do you fear God? Do you fear God? Are you conscious at this moment of the eye of God upon you? And do you reverence and respect the God of heaven? Do you? Jonah did. This reminds us, boys and girls, and I have to bring this in again and again and again. This reminds us that although Jonah had run away, disobeyed God, he didn't do it in order to engage in some worldly pursuit, some worldly activity. No, the reason why Jonah did what he did was not an ordinary reason why people normally disobey God. They want to do something that pleases their old nature, their flesh. But that was not the case with Jonah. And as I've already touched upon it, I'll not go into it any further now, and we will come to it later in our study, in the will of the Lord. But you can see that Jonah, even though he had disobeyed the Lord, he still openly and readily confessed that he reverenced God. He knew he was God. He believed he was God. I fear the Lord, he says. But he told them something else, because at the end of verse 10, well, read all of verse 10. Look at verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So he not only said, I'm a Hebrew. He not only said, I fear the God of heaven. But he said, I'm a prophet and I've run away from the Lord rather than do his will. He told them that too. And you know, these men who were heathens and who really didn't know much about the things of God, nevertheless they knew that it was a dreadful thing for one who was a servant of God to turn his back on God and run away and refuse to do his will. They knew that much. And they knew that what they had found themselves in the midst of was a controversy a disagreement between the God of heaven and one of his servants. They were in the middle of this, can we call it a quarrel, between God and his servant Jonah. And they were afraid. They were afraid because they could be hurt as a result of this difference of opinion, as it were, between God and Jonah. And boys and girls, let me tell you this. History tells us that when God's people and God fall out, have a disagreement, everybody around suffers. Our little country has a lot of troubles. It has a lot of troubles. Now, you're too young to really understand to any great detail the troubles that are in our country, but you will have heard the news now and again of people being murdered and of riots taking place and other things. And do you know why that has come about? Because there's a disagreement between God and his people in this country. Just as the sailors realize we're in the midst of a storm, the ship is in danger of sinking because this man has stepped out of the will of God and God is vexed and angry with him. And we're caught up in it all. Well, this country is caught up in trouble that has come about as a result of a disagreement between God and his people in this country. And if you're praying for our country, you pray that the Christians might realize that God has a controversy with them. God has a quarrel with them because of their sin and their backsliding. So he identifies himself, I'm a prophet running away from God. Furthermore, you will see that he blames himself. Yes, I've run away. I'm in disobedience, he says. And this trouble that has come, it's my fault. Look at verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea become unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. My fault! He owns his fault. Oh, there's an old verse, boys and girls, that comes to my mind, and it has been so often quoted among God's people throughout the ages. It says this, are you listening? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And Jonah says, it's my fault. The storm stopped shortly after that. The ship was safe shortly after that when Jonah owned his sin. And he says, it's my fault. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. Boys and girls, there's so many lessons sitting right there on the surface of this little book. I just pray that God will be pleased to write at least some of them upon your hearts. We're going to conclude in a word of prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, I pray in thy name that it will please thee now to bless your word to every heart. The boys and the girls here, young, growing, grasping at these truths, Lord, please give them understanding of them. Bless the whole school, in every department, in every matter, and remember our land, O God, for thy name's sake we pray. Amen. Amen.